I want you to look with me, please, just for a few moments in Genesis chapter 13 today. And we find a man by the name of Lot. And I want you to begin your reading with me here in let's look at verse 5, and we'll read to about verse 10. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be, say it with me, brethren. Boy, that's a good verse that all of us should underline and circle, highlight in our Bible. Listen, but let there be no strife, for we be brethren. I was thinking the other day, and this is not the message, this thought crossed my mind the other day. I've not seen many people who disagree with our president or our senators or congressmen. I've not seen many people get on airplanes and leave looking for another country. Buddy, listen, you find somebody in the church house that disagrees or doesn't like something the preacher does, and they'll find another place to go. Isn't that something? I don't know if you think like that, but I do as a preacher, as a pastor. You think, people will tolerate things like that, but they can't live together, and we be brethren. We're part of the God's family. If we're saved by the grace of God, washed in Calvary's blood, Christ's blood, and we be brethren. That's what Abraham said to Lot. Abraham being the father figure, if you will. Abraham being the faithful friend of God. Abraham said, let there be no strife. We be brethren. In other words, there are people watching us, Lot. They're the Canaanites and the Perizzites. They're watching us, and we be brethren, let there be no strife. And so here, look at verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if I depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So Abraham encourages Lot for this separation, if you will. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the guard of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I want to stop here. We're going to look at some more scripture here in this journey of Lot's life that God gives us here. He breaks it off here after chapter 14 and chapter 15 and 16 and 17. God is dealing with Abraham and Sarah again. And then Lot's account picks back up in chapter 19. And so we find here that God has a parenthesis, if you will. He talks about Lot just a little bit. Then he turns his attention to Abraham and Sarai. God calls him Abram and Sarai until God changes his name and adds a ham to his name. Mays Jackson said, if you'll tithe, God will give a ham on your name. Amen. And so God added a ham to his name, and so it became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. And so God is dealing with him. But yet we find here Lot, and I want to preach on a message today on this thought, making the right choices. There are some choices that these two men made. Abraham made a choice based and determined on what choice Lot made, because Abraham said, you go first. And whatever you choose, Lot, I'm going to go the other way. Wherever you decide to go, now Lot, think about it now, what you choose to do with your life and your family, I'm going to do the very opposite. I'm going to go the very, very different direction with my herd, my flocks, my wealth, and my family. But Lot, I'm going to leave the decision up to you. Now you think of the responsibility that Lot has. May I say just by way of introduction, many times our biggest enemy is not the devil in our lives. So many times, if we're not careful, we give the devil too much credit. We give him too much praise. We give him too much acknowledgement, if you will. Well, the devil this, the devil that. And a lot of times, our biggest enemy is not the devil. A lot of times, our biggest enemy is not the world. The world is our enemy. The devil is our enemy. And we do battle against these two forces and these two draws. But although its systems and its beliefs are against God, the Word of God, and even against the church and the believers of Christ, listen, the world is not our greatest enemy. A lot of times our greatest enemy is our flesh. Is our flesh, because our flesh wants to be pampered. You know as well as I do, you want to be pampered. Your flesh wants to be pampered. Sometimes our flesh wants to be paraded, acknowledged, and recognized. And a lot of times our flesh wants to be pacified and pleased, because our flesh is wicked. And so a lot of times our greatest enemy today is not the devil, although he is our arch enemy. But a lot of times it's not the world. But 9 times out of 10, every day, it's the man I see in the mirror that gives me my biggest problems. It's the man or the woman you see in the mirror every morning that's going to give you your biggest conflict and burden and problem and battle tomorrow when you get up and go about your day. And so here Lot is a prime example of a believer who lives a quarter of the time for God, who has a fourth heart for God and a three-fourths heart for the world. He is a saved man, I believe, based upon the testimony of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Well, the Bible declares that this just Lot, J-U-S-T, just. Now, you look at the word just there in 2 Peter 2, 7, and you find that the word just means holy or and righteous. And so God is not just doesn't just call anybody holy. He doesn't just call anybody righteous just to be calling somebody a name. But understand this. God said about Lot that he was a just man. Just Lot. And so he is a believer that is forth-hearted for God. Maybe not even that much. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. But three-fourths for the world. And so he is more bent and geared toward pampering his flesh, pacifying his flesh, pleasing his flesh, more than is interested in the promises and the benefits and the blessings of serving God. And that's exactly where we find Lot. We're talking about making the right choices. This is a result here. Some would argue, how could Lot be saved? And no saved man would live like that, or no saved man would act like that way. Many times you do. Many times I do, and I'm saved. Are you saved? You ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you ever acted according to the flesh? Amen or not? We're all, absolutely. This old nature has not been eradicated. This old man has not died. And many of us, many times, when we act in similarities to Lot. And this is a result of leaving God off the throne of our heart. You see, Lot left God in the back room of his heart, so to speak. And many times we do that if we're not careful. And when we do, we make choices that are not right. Hold your place here and just right quick turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, all the way over Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. You'll come into the book of Galatians. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and 16. Lot was all about the flesh, whereas Abraham was all about faith. Abraham, it was counted unto Abraham for righteousness. And Abraham is known to be the friend of God. Lot was not called that. Lot was never called. The only thing Lot was called was just Lot. Just Lot. And you know what? There are some people that, and we know what the word just means there in the context of that scripture. It means holy and reverence. But yet there are some people who are just saved. There are some people who are just saved and a member of a church. And that's all it is with their life. They're fourth for God and three-fourths for the world. They're fourth in the boat and three-fourths in the water. And so here Lot was like that. Look in Galatians 5 verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of what? The flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on here. We're all facing that war. We're all fighting that war. These are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, that as I have told you also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so here God gives a list of the sins of the flesh. And God says these things will be present and prevalent in your life when you and I leave God out of the equation of our decisions. When we make choices without even acknowledging God. When we make decisions without even one time thinking about it. It was Lot who made the choice. Go back to Genesis 13. It was Lot who made the choice. It was Lot who made the claim, if you will. He staked his claim. I'll take the well-watered plains of Jordan. They surely look good. The Bible even says there that they were, behold, all the plains of Jordan. It was well-watered everywhere. And so no doubt through his eye gate, his heart registered and his heart dictated to his mind that this is what you need to choose. Because this is what's going to benefit you. This now. So here's what Lot was looking for. Lot was looking for instant gratification. Instant satisfaction. Instant success. That's what he's looking for. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham was looking to God. But yet Lot was living for this world. And when a Christian lives for this world, you make wrong choices. And I want you to see some things here as we move on. It was Lot who cut the ties with Abraham. You see, up to this point, right then, when Lot made this choice here, he left the strong person in his life. He left the spiritual giant in his life that was influencing him. You see, Abraham was Lot's uncle. And we find here that as long as Lot was following Abraham, as Abraham followed God, Lot was following God. And a lot of times children will follow God as long as they follow mom and daddy, as long as mom and daddy follows God. But if it gets out of kilter somewhere, listen, they get old enough and move away from family, get out on their own. Listen, if there's nothing put in their heart and embedded in their heart, there may come a day they'll make a choice to turn from the God of their fathers and turn to the God of their own hearts and their own ideas. And that's exactly what happened to Lot here. He, up to this point, he was with a strong man, Abraham. He was with a spiritual man. He was one who was sold out to God. I mean, you go to Genesis 22, you find out he even offered his only son Isaac up, willing to offer him up as a... Abraham was sold out to God. But here we find Lot came to make a choice. And Lot was seeking self-gratification. And listen, there's a lot of Christian people who are saved and that's it. They're saved, but they're living for the world, living with the world, wallowing with the world. You can tell hardly any difference between them and the lost man. Carnal as the day is long. That's exactly the only good thing about Lot was that he was just. He was saved and that's it. He never had a testimony for God. Never had any strong influence with his friends and family. And we'll look at that here in a moment. Well, let me show you some things right quick. Number one, write it down, please. Number one, let's examine here. Lot lifted, the Bible says in verse 10. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and what he saw, he liked. What he saw, he wanted. And his choice was based upon three things. God gave them to me here. Write them down. His choice was based upon the appeal to the carnal desires. He thought, man, this is going to be beneficial today. Oh, this is well watered plains. And when the ground is watered, guess what grows? Grass. And if you got cows, horses, and camels, what do they like to eat, class? Grass. He looked at that and said, that's got to be God's will for my life. I mean, look at it. Poor old Abraham's going to get stuck on the backside of the desert. Nothing out there but a bunch of dead animals, skeletons and carcasses. Boy, look what I've got. And he lifted up his eyes and it appealed to his carnal desires. He said, that's what I want. Is that not what David did when David should have been out leading his men in battle? But in 2 Samuel 11, the Bible says in verse 1 that David stayed laying and lounging on his couch, and he went out in the evening and looked upon the city of Jerusalem and saw a woman by the name of Bathsheba washing herself. And his carnal desires kicked in. And I tell you, old Lot said, listen, this fits my appeal for my, it appeals to my carnal desire. Listen, it feel, the world's philosophy is this. If it feels good, do it. You only go through life one time. There's an old song years ago, some reason it's amazing how them old nasty old country and western and rock songs stay in your mind even after you've been saved. There's an old song years ago, an old woman would sing, if loving you is wrong, then I don't want to be right. That's the attitude of the world. I mean, listen, if it's wrong, then I don't want to be right. I'd rather be wrong. There's a lot of people at home today that profess salvation. They say, hey, I'd rather be wrong with God than right with God. That's exactly right. They're foolish, man. I tell you, they're foolish. They'd rather be out of kilter with God, out of fellowship with God, than in fellowship with God. There's something wrong right there. And it may be, listen, there's something wrong in their carnal desire. They've let the flesh rule the throne of God or the throne of their heart where God should be ruling. But here, his choice, he lifted up, and his choice, number one, was based upon the appeal of carnal desire. Number two, it was based upon the appearance of carnal delights. Oh, man, this is good stuff. Look at this. Water and grass. Oh, man, there's nothing like it. I mean, in the eyes of a farmer, friend, I tell you, the rain comes. There's nothing like watching the grass grow, the crops grow, the corn, the wheat, the barley, and the soybean. It's nothing like being a farmer, seeing all those things there. But here, Lot made his choice based upon the very appearance to carnal delights. Some would say, if it looks good, it must be right. If it looks good, it must be good. It's like an old largemouth bass. I meant to bring me a lure with me. John, you don't have a lure in your pocket, do you? I meant to bring me a big old lure. I mean, that old bass, she may be laying on that nest there and got the side fins a-fluttering a little bit. Then all of a sudden, here comes this big June bug or some little shad or some little minnow, she thinks. Oh, man, look at that. I've been hovering over these eggs for hours. And nothing like that has swam by me in a long time. Wow, look at that. Oh, good gracious alive. How? Next thing you know, she's in old John's frying pan. Placed on a plaque on his wall. Amen. I mean, listen, the world says, hey, if it looks good, it's got to be good. May I say, listen, friend, I was at a buffet one time out of town, I looked to the buffet, and I looked on there, and I said, whoa, man, look at there. They got chopped barbecue. How many like chopped barbecue? I saw that there, and I said, I'm going to have to get me some of that. And I already had my plate full, and I said, I'll come back and get some of that. I got over there and eat a little bit there, and I asked that pastor I was preaching for, he took me there. I said, boy, I'm going to go back here when I get done with this place. I'm going to get me a big old spoonful of that barbecue. Man, did you see that barbecue? He said, what barbecue? I said, that big old pan they got chopped up there on the bar. He said, they don't have a barbecue there. I said, well, what is that? He said, that's chopped up chitlins. You know what chitlins are, don't you? That's hog intestines. Cooked. They was chopped up. Man, it looked like barbecue, Brother Strickland. I thought, man alive, my blood pressure would have got out of the roof. I tell you, but I'm glad he stopped me. But you know what? Sometimes people say, if it looks good, it's got to be good. That wasn't for me. Now, you might like it, and go ahead. When you invite me over, just let me know, and I'll bring my own barbecue. Amen. But number three, he lifted up his eyes, and his choice was based upon the appetite of carnal delicacies. Of carnal delicacies. I mean, listen, he had an appetite not for the things of God, but for the dainties and the sweet things and the cookies and Twinkies of the world, the junk food of the world.
And it appealed to his appetite. The reason some brethren, believers say that they don't get fed at the house of God is simply because they have been feeding on the junk food of the world all week. And when they do get some meat shoved down their throat or put on their plate in front of them at the house of God, they can't handle the meat. Because they've been eating potato chips and junk food of the world all week. All week. And he chose this because his flesh was in control. May I say this? Never do we find, never, write this down, never did Lot sit down and count the cost. He never sat down and count the cost. How's this going to affect my walk with God? How's this going to affect my family, my wife? You know, he's got some children here. He's got a wife and two daughters. He's got three sons. 10 of them make up his family. That's why Abraham said, he got all the way down and said, Lord, if there's 10 righteous there, will you spare it for 10? Because he's talking about Lot's family. You go do a study, you find out that Lot had 10 of his family. And understand this here, he never, never thought it through. It was all appealing to his flesh. It was a desire that he had. And he said, boy, if it looks good, it's got to be good. I mean, if it feels good, do it. If that's wrong, then I don't want to be right. I want that. And all this flesh was, it was just being pacified and pleasured and pampered and paraded. And he thought, man, this is good. He lifted up his eyes and he saw that what he saw, the longer he looked, the longer he wanted it. And the longer he wanted it, the longer he began to desire it and thirst for it, and hunger for it, crave for it. Until he never thought it through. He never sought counsel from Abraham. Abraham, listen, I know what you said. You want to go the other way that I go. But Abraham, what do you think about going this way? Would you go that way, Abraham? He never consulted the man of God in his life. He never called the pastor. He never called his Sunday school teacher. Never called a spiritual giant in his life and said, hey, I'm about to make a decision here that's going to affect my family and my future. Do you think it's a right choice? What would you do, preacher, if you were in my shoes? Never did he ask for counsel. Never did he pray it through. We never see Lot build an altar. Abraham built some altars, but Lot never built an altar. He never went to prayer meeting. He never was in the altar, the house of God, begging God to give him some light, some direction. He never prayed it through. He never got any direction concerning the will of God. All he wanted was what he saw. And what his flesh wanted. He never consulted. Number two, write this down quickly. Well, we see what happened. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. In other words, he's looking towards Sodom. And then God gives us a little break. What's happening there in Lot's life? While Lot's there in Sodom, time passes. Years go by. And the next time we see old Lot is down in chapter 19 and verse 1. He's no longer pitching his tent towards Sodom. Now he's all the way down in Sodom. Look in chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says, he sat in the gate. What does that mean? That means he has some political position there. He may have been the mayor of Sodom and Gomorrah. He may have been a commissioner, city councilman. I don't know what it was, but he had some kind of power, some kind of position in Lot or in Sodom now. He was an influential man in the eyes of the townspeople. We know what kind of place this was, a place of wickedness, vile sodomy. And listen, God, as God judged this, God had judged America, God had judged the world, God always judges sin. And here Lot was there. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Again, that means that God sent two messengers, two angels down to warn him of what God's about to do. God's about to destroy that place. Matter of fact, when I was in Israel, we were there, Masada, down to the Dead Sea. We went up on the top where Herod had built his kingdom, his palace on top of Masada, way up in the air. You had to ride a cable car to get up in there, to go all the way up to the top of the mountain. And while we're on top of the mountain, the tour guide said, way over there in the distance is where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. And you'd look and you couldn't hardly see nothing, but he says, just down way over there. And here, God was about to destroy this place because of their wickedness.
And here Lot comes down, and of course we know the men come, and the sodomites and the homosexuals of this town here, they wanted the two men that came. They said, we want to know these men. In other words, we want to pervert them. We want to have our way with them. Lot said, no, don't do this. He said, here, take my two daughters. They've never been with a man. Can you imagine that? Sending your own children out. Let these vile, wicked, nasty, perverted people have their way with them. That's the kind of man Lot was becoming to be. He made a choice, but it didn't make a right choice. And here old Lot sends his daughters out, and of course they get all defiled by these wicked people here, and God's angered, and God's stirring, and God's going to destroy this place. And Lot goes out here, and he kind of gets the idea that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. He didn't believe it at first, but now he's kind of sinking in a little bit. Then notice here, and it comes by in verse 14, the latter part of verse 14, he says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. They didn't believe his message because they didn't believe his life backed up his message. His walk never backed up his talk. And he's trying to warn his family now, the judgment of God's about to fall, and they're laughing at him. They're mocking at him. They're jeering at him. And then it comes on down, and when the morning rose, their angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, and take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed of the iniquity of the city. Number two, Lot lifted. Number two is verse 16, Lot lingers. Look what the Bible says in verse 16, while he lingered. While he lingered. What that mean, preacher? That means he lollygagged around. That's a good southern term, amen. He just twiddled his thumbs. I mean, listen, he just stood around, drug his feet, and had no testimony for God, no touch of God. He lingered in verse 16 to whereas the men, those two men, they grabbed hold of him and said, we got to get you out of here. God's going to spare this city until you're out of here. As an answer to the prayer of your Uncle Abraham, thank God for Uncle Abraham praying for him. Listen, you keep praying for that loved one that's gone astray. Keep interceding. God no doubt will do something for them as well. But here God's about to spare their life because somebody back home is begging God to do that. And here they put their hands on him and get him. And the Lord been merciful to him in verse 16. But Lot can't see it. And he said, you go, you flee, escape, verse 17, escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And here Lot lingers. His apprehension has set in. He's not sure. He made a quick decision back here when he chose to go this way, but now he's kind of second guessing. He's kind of unsure now if he wants to leave this place. He's a little apprehensive now. He's like many people, saved and satisfied. I'm saved and satisfied. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, preacher. What more does God want from me? He wants all of you. Look at verse 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Behold, thou hast magnified mercy, which thou showed unto me in saving my life. He said, I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Listen, what could be more evil, more worse than Sodom and Gomorrah? And here Lot was still dependent upon the flesh. And Lot says, listen, look in verse 20, behold, now there's a city there. He said, I tell you what, instead of exerting myself and using my strength and my energies, and instead of trying to get to that mountaintop where there is safety, why don't we just let me go down the road here to the next city? In other words, he's still dependent on his own flesh. He's still making choices based upon his own, what his flesh wanted. You know what? Many times we miss out because we trust in us. But God said, if Lot could have known this and heard this, God said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. But Lot didn't know that. Let me ask you, what's holding you and I back from fulfilling, from fully following God? Lot said, I can't go. Well, he did. Let me show you the last thing real quick. Not only did Lot look and Lot lingers, but we see Lot lost. Look what he lost because of a choice that he made. We're talking about making right decisions, right choices. Look what he lost. Look in chapter 19, verse 26. Here they go. They're leaving. They're escaping. God rains in verse 24. The rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven. Out of heaven he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabited cities. That which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Here, Lot, number one, what did he lose? He lost his family as a result of a bad decision. He lost his family. Here he loses his wife. Matter of fact, remember in verse 17, he said, listen, escape for thy life and look not behind thee. That was specific instructions for them not to look back. His family. Look down, jump down right quick, verse 33. Or let's look here in verse 36, the saddest verse, I believe, in all the Old Testament, at least maybe the whole Word of God. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. He didn't sit down and count the cost. He didn't realize one day he's going to lose his family. He didn't realize that he is going to commit incest with his two daughters. But he lost his family. Number two, he lost his fortune. He lost his possession. He lost his home. They got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God rained fire and brimstone. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There is no longer any place, anybody living there to this very day. It's a desolate place. God destroyed it. He lost his possession. He lost his position in Sodom. God burned her down. And one day God's going to burn it down in your life and my life if we're not careful. God, as Mays Jackson said, God has set your barley fields on fire. What we're trusting in, what we're hoping in, what we're looking to for self-gratification and self-sufficiency, listen, and a crutch that we're leaning on, listen, instead of looking to God and leaning on God and loving the Lord and living for God, we're doing it all. We've got our allegiance and our loyalty to this one and that one and here and there, and we're dependent on this one, we're dependent on that to meet our needs, and this one to meet our needs, this one to keep us safe, this one to do this, and this one to do this in our life, and we're leaving God out of the equation of our life, and we've made decisions not based upon God and His Word and His will. Listen, one day God's going to burn your world down. God destroyed it. He lost his fortune.